Well, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I like that. Look at the energy over in this corner. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys are doing a good job of leading this morning. Well, here we are, first midweek service chapel in the Advent season for this year. So Happy New Year's, guys. It's a new church here. How about that? And we certainly praise God for this season. And as you see on the cover of your bulletins, for those of you that have them, the focus this morning is the gift of hope. And we'll sure focus on that throughout this service and in the message. Probably easy to take hope for granted sometimes until you talk to somebody that doesn't have hope. And then you realize what a different kind of life that is. But this series, really celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, as we're in the church here now of that celebration, which will be next year in October officially. But one of Luther's hymns from Heaven Above. And if you have a hymnal, you know, that's a great, all the hymns are great devotional pieces, but that's a wonderful hymn for reflecting upon the gifts really wrapped in the package of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that have been given to us from above. And so this series is really following that theme. And so we're going to look at hope today. Next week, we're going to look at love. And then the following week at peace, and then I think you guys are coming back around to hope again. Can't celebrate hope too many times, especially in the times in which we live. So today, though, we look at this first gift in the series, the gift of hope. And we follow the order of worship. I know the print. Can everybody read the print okay on these? I know it's a little small, but I hope that you can. And, well, Ken, we'll begin with the opening hymn. And how blessed we are to be people of hope and people of faith. And we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every good and perfect gift is from heaven above.
Coming down from the Father of lights.
We gather to celebrate the good and perfect gift of hope. For in this hope we are saved.
And in his name we put our hope.
His name is
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Emmanuel, Son of Righteousness, the Desire of Nations, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Yet the name that is above every name is
Jesus. And on this first midweek, Wednesday in Advent, we light a candle and we call that candle hope. And Paul writes in our second lesson that creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We call this candle hope, for it represents Paul's hope and ours as well. We hope for liberation from sin's bondage and the glorious freedom which is ours in Jesus. Of the Lord, now o'er earth is shed abroad, and O Almighty God, merciful Father, O Lord, hear our prayer. Let your ears be attentive to our cry for mercy. But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Merciful Father, we have placed our hope in people who cannot save, in promises that cannot deliver, and in pleasures that will never satisfy. Let your ears be attentive to our cry for mercy. And I am blessed to announce the grace of God to you, for in the name of Jesus, you have this sure and certain hope. Your sins, our God will pardon, blotting out each dark misdeed. All that well deserved his anger, he no more will see or heed. God will change your pining sadness into our springing gladness. We put our hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. In his name we put our hope. And let us pray. God of hope, rather than being weighed down by present sufferings, empower us to be hope-filled by future glory. A future glory that places our suffering and sadness into an eternal perspective. They last only for a season, while future glory lasts forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated.
Well, this morning, as you well know, our special word is hope. Mrs. Winsheimer, spell that for me, please. H-O-P-E, very good. Hope. Now, we hear that word a lot, and especially this time of year, okay? Now, raise your hand if you've ever said this. I hope I get a Barbie doll for Christmas. Well, when I was younger, I would put my hand up too because I wanted Ken and Barbie also. All right? I hope. All right? How about this one? I hope it snows tomorrow so we don't have school. teacher's hands right up there. Okay. That is a special kind of hope. I hope I don't have to eat my peas and carrots. Okay. Well, we can hope for a Barbie doll, we can hope for snow, and we can really hope maybe for cookies and ice cream instead of peas and carrots. But that word hope, can we be sure that we're going to get that? Mr. Erickson hopes that Texas A&M next year will be able to beat Texas in the football, during the football season, right? How strong is that hope? Just depends on what kind of players each team has, right? Okay. Well, in the Bible, the word hope has a much different meaning than what we're talking about. Because in all of those scenarios that we're talking about hope, it really meant, I hope I get it, I think I might get it, but there is the possibility that I won't get that particular item or idea or so forth. Okay? Well, in Scripture, hope means something different. And it stands for that. Mrs. McClendon, what does that say? Hope means having only positive expectations. And notice the first letter of hope is part of the answer as you go down that list. Okay, those are called acronyms. All right? The first letters of the word spell the word hope. Okay? And we can be very hopeful. The Bible says, in His name we put our hope. Whose name do we put our hope in? Jesus, that's exactly right. And there's more than just that expectation of it. There is a trust that goes along with that. And in the Bible, the word hope, to me, means more of trusting, knowing that whatever God tells us, we don't have to hope for it anymore. It's going to happen, or it already has happened. Okay? Jesus. Jesus means the Lord saves. And in this case, what has Jesus saved us from? Sin, exactly. Every single one of us gathered here, adults included, Jesus has saved us from our sins. All sin has been forgiven in the past, in the present, and even out into the future. Okay? And we certainly do need that. Now, again, raise your hand. Adults, same thing. If last week you said something that was really bad, Dean's not going to raise his hand, but he's smiling. Okay. Yes, we are all we're probably guilty of that. How about raise your hand if last week you've done something that was really, really bad? Yeah. Okay. I was kind of jealous of one of the teachers who was on vacation. But that was kind of bad on my part. Okay? Well, in Jesus' name, all of those things, whether we're thinking about them or we said them or we've done it, it all has been forgiven. Okay? We hope, having only positive expectations. Okay? Jesus died for us, and he rose for us. And that's the important part to remember, the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Pastor, there would be no hope, right? Hope is a very important thing. And we can trust in what Jesus has done for us. Our hope is put in him, and we can count on him for everything. Having only positive expectations, looking forward to something. And for us, we look forward to being with the Lord in heaven one day. And as we begin this Advent season, as we prepare our hearts, we know that that preparation is already beginning. And our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so my prayer for you guys today, and my thought for you today is, keep your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those things will come true. Everything will happen according to his will. We thank him for that. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you for the gift of hope that is for each and every single one of us. And that hope is in knowing that Christ has risen from the dead. He died for our sins, and now we have that great hope of eternal life with him. We thank you, Lord, for that most precious gift. In Jesus' name we pray, and the children of God said, Amen. Okay. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Psalm 130, verses 5 through 8. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of our Lord. Our epistle reading comes from the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at the 18th verse. And these words speak to us of our future glory, the hope that we have in the Lord. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This too is the word of our Lord. And I would invite all of you to stand now for the reading of our Holy Gospel for today. This section from Matthew is entitled God's Chosen Servant. And what I'm about to read follows the events in which Jesus, on the Sabbath day, was healing other people, was healing others. And this made the Pharisees very angry. Angry to the point that they wanted to kill him. And so Jesus continues. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. And this is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated now as we continue with our next song.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this quiet morning as we're blessed to gather around God's Word, we focus upon these words from Romans chapter 8 and particularly verse 25, where God inspired the Apostle Paul to write, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Boy, I love the children's message, the acronym for HOPE. Having only positive expectations. Isn't that cool? There's a great acronym that you can go out into the community and share with other people, because most, if you bring up HOPE, it's more like Well, for us adults, probably not hoping it snows, although we need the moisture. But most of the time, it's a term of uncertainty in our culture. Well, it happens to us all, doesn't it? Inside of us, we have a feeling, and maybe even more than a feeling, it's more like a conviction that what we experience right now in real time is never enough. Do you ever feel like that? Where you're longing for something more and something better? I think we all experience that. In fact, God reveals that to be a reality in our lives in this wonderful, it's an incredible text. If you haven't read it for a while, I'd encourage you to just sit down today and read through Romans chapter 8. It's just an incredible chapter in all of Scripture. But we hear there, as God has revealed this to us, all creation is waiting with eager longing. Isn't that interesting? All creation is waiting with eager longing, meaning that we are looking for and longing for something that is better than what we are experiencing now. And that certainly can happen in very trying times in our lives. If we're going through a very severe illness, for instance, or maybe for some just going through some incredible financial trials, not knowing how everything's going to pan out. Or for others, maybe it's deep disappointment. We've all been there, and maybe currently we're there now in various ways where life is just kind of really beating us up. And it's not easy, and it's just brutal. And we sense that somewhere in time or beyond, there has to be more, and it has to be better than what we are experiencing now. Don't you love these words where Paul writes, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." There's the hope, right? We know by God's promise, and it's not like hoping it's going to snow tomorrow and not certain if that will happen or not, but we know by God's promise that glory will certainly come and be revealed to us. We are going to experience that. Now let me ask you this. Imagine going through a severe trial in your life and not having hope. Do you know anybody in that kind of frame of mind and heart? You know, I tragically have a brother that's in that position. And I can remember my brother years ago calling me on the phone, all excited about what he was reading in God's Word. But somewhere in his journey of life, he got angry with God, and he's still angry with God. And I ask you to pray for him. His name is Dan. Brilliant guy and a heart of gold, but such a battle within. And I remember calling him a couple weeks ago after the election, and he's a real environmentalist. And I mean, I've never seen, at least heard my brother's voice so broken over the phone. Because he thought the world is going to hell in a handbasket as a result of the election. The environment's going to go down the tubes. Global warming is going to take over. He's thinking about his granddaughter, Irene, who's 2 years old. And he says, what kind of life is Irene going to have as a result of this? It's just hopelessness. He cannot see beyond the reality of life on this earth. And he sees it without God. On the other hand, we have Pastor Buddy. Last 2 weeks, Pastor Buddy, and Dean, you had fallen to this camp and your physical battles you've shared with all of us, but Pastor Buddy has been through hell on earth, if you will, the last couple weeks. Just horrendous physical trials, in and out of the hospital, code blued one time. And yesterday, here I was with Bubbly Buddy back home. and you wouldn't have known anything ever happened. But through all of that, this man of faith remained focused upon God, and in the midst of his severe trials, he said, Pastor, God's going to reveal himself right here in this hospital through what's happening to me. And it's just so incredible to be with people of faith, and with that faith, hope. And that is who we are. But then there's the other end of the scale, right? Have you ever had one of those days where it's like, boy, it just doesn't get any better than this? Isn't that quite a blessing once in a while in our journey upon this earth? And you know, sometimes just a moment, maybe it's a brand new song that's come out. And boy, one of those for me was Thy Will that's been on Christian radio. And it's like, oh, great, that song's playing again. And, you know, it just puts me at a different level of joy in my life hearing that song. But after a while, and it's played over and over and over again, it starts to actually become a little normal and mundane. And then it's kind of like, well, gee, now I want something else that'll even, you know, elevate me a little higher than that. But that's how it is in our experiences upon this earth. They come and they go, but we're longing for something even more. And so this morning, as we think about hope, I love that acronym, having only positive expectations. But I want us to think about some components of hope as God reveals them to us in His Word. You may want to even write these down if you have a place to write them down. But there's four of them that I'd like us to think about. The first one is waiting, that hope involves waiting. Another one is actually imagination. There is imagination involved in this hope that God gives us. And certainly faith is a major component of hope. And then along with that is character. And so I want us to think about those four components this morning. And so when we hope, we do not have what we have been promised or expected. We're still longing for that, and so we must wait. And it's important for us to understand this waiting, and for the ladies in the room who have gone through labor, I think, and Paul even uses that analogy in Scripture of waiting in the context of hope. As you ladies went through labor, that waiting wasn't just sitting in an office reading a magazine, was it? Or maybe falling asleep. Boy, I tell you, that waiting period was a lot of work for you and a lot of pain and just all kinds of dynamics going on in your life and in your body. But you were looking with expectation. You were waiting for that moment when you're going to get to see that little new life, that miracle that God created in your womb, right? And so this is the kind of waiting. It's really one of perseverance. It's one of endurance. In fact, it can be one of severe battle. We're saint and sinner, and so daily we're battling even within as we battle sin and the temptations that we would love to embrace with our old sinful nature. And so that's all part of this waiting process connected with hope. But then the question is, what are we waiting for? What is it that we're actually looking forward to? And Paul, as God inspired it, reveals that to us. And there's some beautiful words here, for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So there's freedom and there's glory. Paul goes on to write, for adoption and the redemption of our bodies. So there's four major things that we are hoping for, waiting for, looking forward to, is that freedom and that glory and that adoption and redemption of our bodies. And you may think, well, wait a minute, we have all of those now, and it's very true, we do. But we don't fully realize them now. In heaven, all of these will be fulfilled in all of their purity as God promises them and has given elements of them to us even now. But all will be fully realized when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And that is what we long for. And so whatever we know about the freedom or the glory of being God's children or being redeemed, having redeemed bodies, it all pales next to what is to come. And that is when we are standing in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so hope is waiting. But hope is also imagination. And in the sense of God revealing to us His promises and the incredible things that are in our future, but from our perspective now, we cannot even begin to fully comprehend the fullness of what God has promised to us. And so we hear Paul write in light of this, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? So we can't see it, but we hear it revealed to us, and we imagine in our hearts and minds what this must be like as God reveals his promises to us. Remember when Thomas denied Jesus, or refused to believe unless, you know, he could see Jesus in the flesh and touch his wounds and so forth. And remember then Thomas believed, and then Jesus responded, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And there is hope. Believing in what we cannot see, longing for what we cannot see. And so we can't see Jesus now. Jesus didn't walk in the flesh this morning. He's not sitting here visibly before us here in the chancel area or in the pew beside you. We know he's here though, right? We know the Lord is here, but we cannot see him physically with our eyes. But this time will come when we will. And so you think about the great prophecies of the Old Testament. God's people, the church then, hearing these marvelous events that are to take place, and many of them have already been fulfilled, and you and I are blessed to live in the history of those events, as Jesus even gave testimony to that in the gospel reading this morning. Hey, what Isaiah prophesied, it's happening before your eyes right now. I am here as was promised. But then you think of other things that are still to come, like the lion laying with the lamb. There's a beautiful imagery in Isaiah. And Lindy and I both, we can't wait to be in heaven and just cuddle up to those lions. We love cats. Those are big cats. And, and we'll be able to do that because there will be absolute peace in the kingdom of glory that our Lord prepares for us. Or you think of the book of Revelation, and boy, your imagination can run wild with the things that God reveals to us in His Word. And I think of Revelation 7, for instance, and you've got all the church gathered before the one who sits on the throne. And who's sitting on the throne? That's Jesus. And there he is in his glory, like the disciples saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration for a moment. It won't be for a moment anymore. It'll be ongoing. We're going to see the Lord eye to eye. We're going to see him. Have you ever thought about looking Jesus right in the eye? We're going to have that experience. And then to hear the whole heavenly chorus, the church and all the angels gathered together and we're proclaiming salvation belongs to our God. I mean, can't you just imagine what that must be like? We have all kinds of individual images of that event. And when we're there, we will no longer have to imagine it. But hope is longing for what we cannot see. And so imagination is part of our hope, properly understood. And then there is faith. This lack of sight where hope is concerned comes because hope is so tightly connected to faith. And faith is knowledge and trust and acceptance, right? And so really focusing in on trust, this third component of hope is really trusting. And so we wait, we imagine, and we trust. The writer to the Hebrews defines faith in this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There it is again. But that first part, especially in light of trust, the substance of things hoped for. God has given us the substance, hasn't he? It's his word. It's everything that he has promised. And it's not like, well, this might happen, but that's not going to happen, like getting a Barbie doll or snowing. No, everything God has presented to us, 100% of everything, will come to fruition. This is the substance of our hope. It's what we trust in. And so faith and hope are partners in that way. And faith gives hope, really, its content, its substance. And we are blessed to have that. And the fourth one is character. And again, we go to Romans, and another incredible chapter in Romans is chapter 5. Not that all of God's word isn't incredible. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now you think of that from a secular world perspective, they'd think we were nuts. Really? You're going to rejoice in suffering? And you think that suffering actually can be a blessing in your life? Boy, what world and planet are you from? Well, we're from the planet God created. And we are his children who know his promises, and our sufferings that would seem to harm and could destroy us do something much different. They empower us. They produce character. And then character produces hope. Isn't that awesome? So even as we go through severe trial, God even increases the hope that we experience and realize in our lives. And so it is God who is behind all of this. It is God who is the source of this. He gives us time. He gives us that waiting period. He gives us imagination. He gives us faith. He even brings hardship. And all of it for our good. And with all of these, what is the package but it's hope? And what is the wrapping on hope but it's the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord? And so we know his sacrifice on the cross. We know that little babe born in Bethlehem. We know his power and his wisdom. We know the victory that he has won, the resurrection that is a historical event, victory over sin and Satan and death. And we live in the reality of this. This is the substance of our lives. Christ in us gives us hope. There is the source. And we are blessed to have it and to live it. And so hope, unlike so many other gifts, will never, ever disappoint us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same today and tomorrow and forevermore. Amen. And now may the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ keep our hearts and minds always in Jesus, and in all the promises that he gives, some already fulfilled in our lives, but others we still wait for and long for. Amen. And I would invite everyone to stand, if you are able this morning, as we then turn to our God of hope in prayer. And at the, as you see in your bulletins, the congregation will respond to each petition with the words, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And let us pray. O God of all hope, we often feel overwhelmed by disappointment, bitterness, and guilt. Yet even though we are surrounded by these trials and tumultuous times, we are told to pray, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." O God of hope, sometimes we lose hope when we are crushed by heartbreak and heartache. And yet we are told to pray, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." O God of all hope, we thank you that in the name of Jesus, we have your promise of restoration, resurrection, and new life. In his name, we are bold to pray, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." O God of all hope, remove from us every empty hope and turn our hearts toward your promise, and that the day is surely coming when hope will give way to sight and perfect love. This day is why we are bold to pray, "My hope is built on nothing less
than Jesus' blood and righteousness."
O God of all hope, when Christ returns, you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But Lord, in the meantime, in our waiting, we pray that you would continue to guard our faith, that you would encourage and uplift our spirits as we focus upon you and the promises given. Lord, we pray for all of those who go through severe trials in their lives. Certainly, we hold up to you, Pastor Buddy, and in the midst of what he has experienced these past 2 weeks. Lord, you know the people in the southeastern sector of our country that are suffering from just horrifying fires that are raging on there. And Lord, suffering in so many other parts of the world, you are aware of it all. But we plead with you, Lord, that many more people today, in the midst of these severe trials, will realize that we cannot put our hope in man or in the things of this world, but that we would put our hope in you. This is our hope, and we are bold to pray, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And dear Jesus, how blessed we are to live in the time of the fulfillment of many prophecies given to the Old Testament church. As you have come, you dwell among us, and we know the history of your birth and your death and your resurrection and your ascension, and we know that you reign over our lives. And Lord, we are honored and blessed even to know the prayer that you have taught us, that we are privileged to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessings of the Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we put our hope. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this year we're going to try to have a little bit of a luncheon following this service like we do during the season of Lent. So we're glad that you were able to come today. And if you're able to stay, there's a lot of wonderful food that's been prepared. And before we leave, though, how about if we pray together the common meal prayer? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And one announcement, Dean and Joanne Rodell have a neighbor, Diane, and she got a new couch and love seat. In fact, she's getting it today. And she has an old couch and love seat that really are in nice condition that she just wants to give away if somebody can use them. So if any of you are in need of that or aware of somebody that may be in need of a couch and a love seat, let us know. And that would greatly bring relief to her that she could get rid of it and that somebody else could use it as well. So thank you. God bless.